Church, let's humbly welcome our father, our brother, and our senior elder, Elder Joshua Nati. Please, let's welcome him. Let's welcome him. Let's welcome him.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth.
Lift up your two hands.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Hallelujah.
Matchless love and beauty, endless worth.
Yeah.
Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus, clap your hands and shout a big amen.
I want you to jump. Listen, listen, listen. The Bible said, and God told Ezekiel, he said, clap your hands, stamp your feet, and declare a word. And I, your Lord, I shall hasten to perform it. We are going to clap our hands. We are going to jump on our feet. And the song we are singing is a declaration.
Glory!
Now come on, listen. Listen, I was in a meeting yesterday and I was telling them about the power of praise. Listen, 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 listen. You see, when you praise God, it doesn't add anything to Him and it doesn't take anything from Him. So what it simply means is that when you praise Him or you fail to praise Him, he doesn't change and it doesn't change him. But can I talk to you? There is so much we lose when we don't praise him. Are you here? I'm not here to talk about praise, but I just want you to understand something. So from today, even when you buy pure water, you will praise God. Listen carefully. Maybe 3 or 4 scriptures to help you is too much. Maybe 2 or 1. One. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible speaks about 10 lepers. I'll be using it in my ministration. And the Bible said, there were 10 lepers who came to Jesus in need of healing. We'll talk about it. And then the Bible said, Jesus asked them to go and show themselves to the priests. I'll be talking about priests. Praise God. And the Bible said, and when they had gone to see the priests, there was a miracle. They were cleansed and they received their healing. May you receive your healing wherever you are. And then my Bible tells me that the 9 decided to go home, but the 1 returned back to Jesus. Now listen to me. He returned to praise him. But when I read through scriptures, his praise didn't add anything to whom Jesus is, and his praise never took anything away from Jesus. But as I kept studying the scriptures so critically, I got to realize that there was something that rather happened to the man who came to praise. The Bible said, and when he had come, one with a loud voice. You see, your praise must be loud. Hey. Hey. That's how we are going to move though. With what? A loud voice. He knelt and bowed on his face. So you see, anytime there is praises, all we do is we dance. I'm looking for a day, and maybe it will start today, where we are praising and all you could do is to lie with your face down. And then Bible said that after the young man had finished praising Jesus, Jesus told him, number one, your faith. It means the nine had no faith. Coming to praise Jesus alone defines his faith. And in Hebrew, the Bible said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you recall that David is a wife snatcher. And David was actually a murderer. But Jesus, God kept referring to him as a man after my heart. Why? Because even in his sin, he pleases God. Why? Because he was a man with faith. You see. Don't make noise and not hear what I'm saying. Tell somebody, catch it before. So the Bible said that for you, David, you were a man after my heart. Why? Even after snatching someone's wife, he still came to praise him. After murdering people, he still came back to praise. And men who always come back to praise are men with faith. And men with faith are men who pleases God. And men who pleases God are men after God's own heart. That is number one. Number two, he said, your faith has made you whole. This is what it means. The nine never received this. Having come back to me, you'll be made whole. It means the nine were healed, but they were not made whole. Can I talk to you? So that when he had received his miracle, he praising God or not praising God wouldn't have changed God, but he coming rather added something to him, and that his praise, his coming back to praise, made him whole. Can I talk to you? Even thanking God and praising God for a mobile phone makes the mobile phone whole. Am I talking to somebody? So from today, even when you buy water, you will praise him. Because praising God over the pure water makes the pure water whole. I see you marry and you are coming to God to praise him.
Yeah.
As if I'm talking to only seven people.
Yeah.
I said, I see you marry. Woo. And you will not run out of God, but you will run to God to praise him.
Yeah.
If you are the one, shout yes.
Yeah.
The Bible said Jesus took bread in Luke chapter 22. And the Bible said, listen carefully. The first earlier scripture, the Bible said, and he took the cup. That one alone is a 3-day seminar. He took the cup. But when it came to the bread, the Bible said he took bread. Let's put it aside. But this is what I'm telling you. This is what God, Jesus was teaching us, that there is something supernatural about the cup, but the bread is so ordinary. Why? This is the boy. It's different from this is a boy. So the cup was a specific cup. Not an ordinary cup. But for bread, he did not take the bread. He took bread because the bread was an ordinary bread. But something happened to the bread. The Bible said, and after Jesus had given thanks, in other words, after he had praised his father over ordinary bread, the bread changed from being ordinary bread into becoming the body of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I've been preaching with this iPad for about 10 years now. It was a seed a Timothy bought for me after school when we left here. After he had received a miracle to enter the Europe, and he sent me this iPad. I had completed university, very new. The fire was so high. I used to pray with people on the field. When the iPad came, I organized a prayer meeting. I have never received something. No, that was my first time receiving a gift like this from ministry. Because whilst we were on campus, you preach a powerful message, and all you receive in your room is good stew, shito, and food. This is the first time I am receiving something valuable. But listen, we are going to preach in Liberia. Boarded the bus from one town to the other, and armed robbers met us in the middle of the way. And they searched everybody's bag. They took everybody's item, including those who were even holding yam phones. But when they got to my tent, they took my bag. Listen. Listen. The gang, the rebel leader took my bag. Opened it, and the first thing he saw was the iPad. He took, don't clap, you hold on. He took the iPad and gave it to me and was still searching the bag.
Wait.
Listen. Charlie, we have a long journey to go. The way you are doing, we wouldn't close on time, please. Take it easy. Tell your brother, hold your fire. Now listen. The long and short of it all was that he gave me my bag without taking anything, because the only valuable thing in my bag was this tablet, iPad. I had forgotten. Then God reminded me how I organized prayer meeting to praise him over iPad. And I said, it was to thank you for it. He said, no. When you praise me over the iPad. Hold it. This one is not wholeness. This one is from the bread. When you praise me over the iPad, after the praise, it changed from iPad to something else. So that when armed robbers are coming for people's yams, they will see, maybe they saw it like a Bible. They didn't see it as an iPad. Can I talk to you? When you praise God over your handkerchief, it sees it from being... Is somebody ready to praise God? Do you know why? Because as we praise him, we are not adding anything to him, neither are we taking anything. But so many things are happening to us. Some of us, we are receiving wholeness. Some of us, we are being changed, converted from poverty to riches. Glory. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
As we sing, you will clap. You will jump. Hello. And as we praise God, you see, I am coming from Asamankase. Oh, if you have read the history of this church, you would have understood it when I said I was born in Asamankase. They were praying and they were singing, and literal fire fell. Ayako Shadana Mahada. May it be heard in the churches of the Apostolic Church. That, and on the last day during the breakthrough hour, when the apostle members were praising and worshiping, fire! Hallelujah. But it will not just be a praise song, it will be a war song. Are you ready?
The God of heaven, he will prosper.
powers. Therefore we
for our Pastor Andy Norte. Hallelujah. And what was the theme? Yes. I didn't hear. What was the theme? So when I was parking, it was my cry. Oh, return to your church. Oh, return to your church. When I was washing my car, it was my cry. Return. Oh, Lord, return. When I set off and I was driving here, it was my prayer, return. Oh, God, return. And in every session, it was our prayer, return. Oh, Lord, return. But can I ask you a question? When we are leaving, must there still be a cry? That whilst you are packing to leave, it is the same cry. Return, oh, Lord. Can I talk to you? In this session,
okay,
we are going to redefine the topic. What is the theme? And as we are living, oh, the Lord returned.
Yeah!
The Lord returned. Oh, those here, let me go to those here.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
that meeting, the crack crowd said,
the Lord
returned. Who said the Lord will return? No, no, let me go to the other side. The crack crowd said, so listen, when you get home and somebody asks you, Charlie, how was the camp? The Lord
returned.
Listen. When the theologian was demystifying the topic for the day and the theme for the camp, if there is anything that really caught up with my spirit was this. He said, where are the fathers? Where are the priests? Where are the worshippers? Where are the intercessors? Because all the scenarios he gave us, demonstrating how God departed, when you go and read it carefully, after the departure, when he was returning, he did not return as a spirit. He returned as a human being. Am I talking to somebody? So, in Egypt, when for 400 to 430 years, when he seemed to have had departed, his return was not the return of a spirit. His return was a stammerer who didn't know how to talk and didn't even have enough faith and was not so spiritual like you and I. But just when I was studying to identify that the return of God to Israel in Egypt, what at all was that return? And as I kept reading and researching, all I realized was that the return of Moses was the return of God. So when Moses appeared in the house of Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Can I talk to somebody? We lost him in our local assemblies. He departed from our districts. He departed from our area. And we were here with one cry. Abba, Father, return. But as you return to that local assembly, the Lord has returned. As you return to that district, the Lord has returned. As you return to that area, the Lord has returned. Where are the worshippers? And you are returning. Where are the priests? And you are returning. Where are the prophets? And you are returning. Am I talking to somebody? Shout, I have returned.
I have returned.
Listen. Listen. In John chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible said, and the word became flesh and dwelleth among men. He's not talking about a letter, an essay. He's talking about Jesus became flesh. The promise returned of God. He appeared and he returned in the form of a flesh and dwelled in a mortal being. The return of God to the apostolic church. In this afternoon session, I see it change into flesh. I am Alo Satanama. He's coming upon somebody today. Am I talking to you? And somebody say, how can this be? As we clap, as we pray, as we shout, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. Am I talking to somebody? Shout, I am returning. You didn't shout. Shout, I am returning.
I am returning.
Now listen. Let me release a burden. And after the burden, we will pray like we are crazy. How many of you completed university 10 years ago? 9, 8. After every burden I will release, every prayer secretary, then, now, and to be, you will all join us here. We see those of you who have used your fire to drink. You will all descend and we will pray like children. You see, today our theology has even changed how we pray. But look at it where we were in level 100, level 200. Look at how we used to pray. Today, the heart of the Father shall be turned into the heart of the sons. We will pray like little babies today. We will cry unto God like little babies today. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Look at my assignment. Very short. It is smooth and gentle. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 14. I am to marry a clause in Isaiah 58, verse 14, and our team. I am to organize a marriage ceremony for them this afternoon so I can join them in holy matrimony. Can we read it together? Oh, no. Can we pray it? Pray the scripture. Go. No, you are reading. You are reading it. I didn't say you should read it. I said, can we pray it? Pray it. Pray it. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken. Hallelujah. Can we pray it one more time? Go. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken. Now listen. The Lord is giving the people of Israel a charge. That is the first part. Say a charge. And he's telling them that if only you will be able to observe that charge, there are two things I have in store for you. One, I shall cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. And then number two, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. I am not here to talk about the heritage. He shall feed us. I wish that is what I'm here to do, but that is not what I was given. I'm to deal with. And that he will cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth. Hallelujah. We prayed on Friday and it was us. Yesterday we were praying and it was about us. Today, we are out of the scene. It's about the church. Say, it's about the church. Praise God. Now listen. In Isaiah chapter 58, we witness what is almost happening in our church today, where it looks as if, or it does not look as if, it looks, or it is, that God seemed to have departed from the church. And what are we talking about? His manifest presence seemed to have what? Departed from the church. Nothing seems to be happening. So then, the people of Israel kept themselves in fulfilling certain statutes of God, hoping and believing, after we have observed these statutes, the Lord shall return. And what was it? The number one, was that they were busily observing Sabbath. They were busily observing what? Sabbath. Sabbath. So that on the Sabbath day, even removing toilet roll is work. It's work. There's no Sunday, Friday, Danny, Saturday, Ashe. Because you must not work. So that if removing toilet roll is work, it was all about traditions. It was all about customs. It was all about this is what it used to be. This is what has been in the scene. And that is what they are doing. So much that even if somebody must be healed on the Sabbath, they have an issue with it. Even if an evangelism must be conducted on the Sabbath day, they have an issue with it. So that even when you are a full-time preacher, you are not to preach on the Sabbath. Hey! Yes, show knows. What I meant when I mentioned Sabbath is not what you are talking about. It's not just choosing a day where you do not work. Sabbath was to introduce the consciousness of obedience into you. That as you walk with me, you will daily be conscious of this one thing at least once every week. That we must submit daily to the obedience of God. So this is not the Sabbath I'm looking for. The second was fasting and prayer. Say fasting and prayer. Every January, I don't know your church, but my church, every January we fast 21 days. And then July we do 21 days. And there is a student group in my church, they do 40 days. So when you add it, in a year, officially we fast 82 days. Even Jesus did 40 days and 40 nights. Don't clap yet. I was happy you were excited. Very soon you'll be crying. This is the official one. And Uncle James, apart from the 82, your district sometimes I've been observing some 1 week, some 3 days, in between the lines, 5 days. So the long and short of it all is that officially or unofficially, the church I am coming, I don't know your church, but my church, we have a symbol, and the symbol is small. In my church, averagely we fast 100 days in a year. But when I look at the analysis, it's as if our 100-day fasting, full stop. I don't know for your church, but as we are entering January, we are preparing to start 21. July, 21. The student group in it, 40. 82. So that if the church, how old is Apostle? So we've been doing almost, you let's use the official one, 82-day fasting and prayer. Almost for 35 years. What is the result? 0.000. Talk to me. What is the result? And that was exactly what was happening in Isaiah chapter 58. And I saw God appear. And he said, I hate even your fasting. I hate it. And he said, this is not the kind of fast I am looking for. This is not the kind of fast I'm looking for. 21 days for tomato. And when we appear in our services, in my church and in my local, AFO of you, die by fire. Kill to the throat. And he said, even that is the part that kills me most. I hate your... And go and read it. You see, this is not what I came to talk about. It's just a background. And guess what? He said, I hate your... I hate it. On top of it is the prayer in the fast. And he said, even whilst you have gathered in your local assemblies praying, I shall turn my eye. So whilst you are busily praying, God has turned his eyes. Oh, who is going through the scriptures? Can you project them verses by verses as I'm following it? I'm paraphrasing them. So you are fasting and praying, thinking I shall return. But you are rather worsening it. You are rather increasing and expanding the space between me and the church. Why? Because this is not the kind of fast I like. You do this and you tear yourselves apart. After doing this, you tear yourself apart, killing one another. But he said, this is the kind of fast I want. He said, clothe the naked, feed the poor, speak for the one without a voice. And this is the kind of fast I want. Look at the nakedness in our local assemblies. Look at the hungry souls in our churches. We bypass them and we come to church. Kaya, 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 paya, paya. He said, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate it. I hate it. In these 21 days, the return God and the return you is going to observe a fast that God loves. And that is the charge. Delight thyself in the Lord. And I shall cause you to ride on your high places. To ride on your high places comes from a Hebrew clause, not phrase. Baumau. It is actually spelled B-A-M-A-H, but it's pronounced B-A-W apostrophe M-A-W, Baumau. And what that phrase in Hebrew transliterates is this. Three things. Number one, riding on your high places, number one, means to be carried over your obstacles. So when we say that we want God, God is going to cause us to ride on what? On our high places. What it means, number one, is that he is going to carry us over our obstacles. So, yes, there are obstacles in the church. But riding on our high places simply means that an invisible hand is going to carry us over that obstacle. Am I talking to somebody? We want to build the Hemaya Project. And over millions of dollars. And we don't even, no, she had to calibra, how do you understood it? Now, but we have financial obstacle. But riding upon our high places means, even though we are faced with financial obstacles as a church, but the good Lord, when he returns, he's going to carry us over the obstacle. Am I talking to somebody? Number two, riding over and riding upon your high places means, number two, to be carried on high. To be carried on high. I love worship songs and I love praise songs. Since 2000, when I became an apostolic, I am yet to watch an artist sing on the TV to hear he's an apostolic. Don't get angry with me. Wait till I end. But even for the very people that we love to hear them sing, thank God some of them are close friends. And when we are with them, driving and sitting on flight, traveling together, when you hear them do their natural worship on the flight, you get to realize that the hidden backing vocalist in the apostolic church is far better. Far better. Far better. Those who awarded them in the country, we sat with them on flight in buses, and we've heard them sing with their natural voice. And I have to turn and look at the person, not because he's a star and I keep looking at him. No, I want to be sure if the voice I'm hearing. But can I talk to you? If the Lord has returned, then he's going to carry our musicians on high. Number three, which is the final one. God causing us to ride on our high places also means that an invisible hand, Baumau, translate that an invisible hand is carrying you in authority and in power. And is this not what they told us? That when the manifest presence of the Lord comes, He does not come leaving his skills at home. And that when his manifest presence appears, he appears with three things: power, authority, and glory. Am I talking to somebody? So that if he has returned, then what it means is that power is coming to the church, glory is coming to the church, authority is coming to the church. And riding upon the high places means it is not just coming to the church, but he's going to carry us on the wings of power, on the wings of authority, on the wings of glory. But there is a charge. Say, there is a charge. What is the charge? Delight thyself. That if we can delight ourselves as we go. Is it the final afternoon prayer? Then this one is as you go prayer. As we go, we will continue to delight ourselves in the Lord. And as we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, am I talking to you? Am I talking to you? He will cause us. He will cause us to ride on high places. But when I check delight, it's deeper than it appears. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And when I check the Hebrew intro of the word delight, two mostly used Hebrew words were used to explain that word delight. One is rasa, two is herpes. Rasa, R-A-S-A. Transliterated to mean pleasure. And pleasure, as we know in common English, means to enjoy yourself. So, delight there is telling us that the charge is that we should go and enjoy ourselves in the Lord. I said, no, it couldn't have just been the charge. Then I logged on to the second word. I mean, commonly used Hebrew word, rasa. And guess what? No, herpes. And guess what herpes transliterate? Bending towards an entity. Bending towards. Bending towards. And I said, this is it. That as we go, he's not just expecting us to be singing in our bus all the way to Kumasi. Takwa. So that when we are asked, he has given us a charge, oh, we should enjoy ourselves. No, it wasn't just to enjoy ourselves. That as we are living in the bus, in our local assemblies, in our districts, in all our dealings, we will be deliberate about this one thing. That every single thing we are doing, it will be our attempt to bend towards him. Tell somebody, bend. Bend towards him. Bend towards him. And what does it mean to bend towards God? What it means is that learning to forgo your pleasure, your intent, your purpose, and being after his purpose. Hallelujah. Following him. And his purpose, his assignment, brings me to this Greek word, diakonia. And what is diakonia? Explaining what we commonly call ministry. But guess what Greek word diakonia transliterate? Divine assignment from God. What does that mean? You are not here to adapt to females in the world. You are not in your school to adapt to the number of students in your school. You are not in your local assembly to adapt to the population there. But you are still here because God has an assignment for you. He has an assignment. Tell somebody, God has an assignment for me. Can I talk to you? You could have died last night. He kept you alive, not because of your prayer, but because of his assignment on your life. The reason why God has not washed away the apostolic church, but has kept us for over 80 years, is for this one reason, that he still has an assignment for the church. So can I talk to you? God's assignment for your life is your ministry. Diaconia. So ministry is not preaching on the pulpit like I'm doing today. Ministry is not necessarily opening a church. Ministry is not necessarily starting a music ministry. Ministry is about God's assignment for your life on this earth. Can I talk to you? In Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible said, and God created Adam, and after creating him, he said, Adam, come here. And he said, listen, I have created you for two reasons. Keep my garden and dress it. Listen, God's assignment for Adam was this. Keep the garden and dress it. So Adam's ministry is not organizing crusades. Don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. We have a long journey. Adam's ministry is not leading praises and worship in church. Adam's ministry is not starting a church in his name. His ministry is dressing the garden and keeping it. So that when you're on your way for a 60,000 capacity crusade, and you return with 10,000 souls, Adam is also doing ministry as far as he's dressing and keeping the garden. Can I talk to you? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus addressed an issue which I think theologically is destroying our pulpit. He spoke first about false prophets, and then he came to speak about true prophets. He spoke about beware of false prophets or false teachers. And then when he was done, he came to talk about true prophet. How did I know that he called them true prophets? He said, and after this, there shall be men who shall return to me and say, in your name we prophesy. What it means is that these people were not false prophets. They were prophesying in the name of Jesus. They were not prophesying by the prophet, by the spirit of Baal. They were prophesying by the spirit of God and the word. So this cannot be false prophets. So Jesus had finished addressing false prophets, and then he came to address true prophets. And Joshua, it was the true prophet he told that they shall come to me and I will tell them, go of me, for I know you not. Who was he talking about? This is it. That there are people prophesying. Not because they are false. They are true prophets. But God does not know them. And on the judgment day, when they shall come to him, he said, go off. Get off me. I don't know you. What? In true work or yagba. Who is asking what's the meaning? When you go to France, they speak French. When you go to Spain, they speak Spanish. When you go to England, they speak English. When you come to Ghana, we speak Ghana. Hallelujah. I will say to them, they will come to me and say, in your name, we healed. They said, Jane, no, yeah, in level. No, they didn't heal with four spirits. They healed in the name. How come he does not know them? In trouble, I can oya cha hila. Hey, can I talk to you? What is your assignment? Because your assignment is your ministry. And now listen to this. Your assignment must even show you which course to read. Don't clap. You didn't get it well. And your assignment must show you which woman to marry. Do you want to hear this one? So that when you have free visa to enter US, Canada, and Swahili, your assignment must determine which one to accept. Can I talk to you? so that the governing grace around our life on earth must be dictated by his assignment for our lives. Am I talking to you? Can I ask you now, what is God's assignment for you? So you see, people are marrying, and the marriage is rather taking them out of the church. But you see, the reason why you must marry, if you're a man, is because you went looking for a helper for your assignment. Listen, hold on. So that if I haven't identified my assignment yet, I'm not at the right position to select which woman to marry. Okay. And woman, when the man is proposing to you and he himself has not identified his assignment yet, you don't respond and accept the one proposal because you are coming in as a helper.
Okay.
Wait. You become a useless wife when after marrying you, you are contributing nothing to my assignment. So you have all the beauty, you have all the glory, but as far as you are contributing zero to my assignment, you've become useless. Go, don't clap. Are you listening to me? What is your assignment? Hallelujah. And listen, God has an assignment for his church. If it is a church that came from God, then he would have an assignment for that church. Can I ask you, what is the assignment of the apostolic church? So that when we haven't identified our assignment, we will struggle and still not please God. But the charges that you will bend towards me. In other words, it is not easy to follow God's assignment. It takes a careful and a conscious attempt to gradually do so. First class business administration, and from national service, secured a job with Newmont Ghana. And after 3 months, what many of you, Jacob? And you are leaving Newmont with all the cash, not to be a pastor of a church, at least with a 200 Ghana allowance, not zero. And your dad is not aware of this decision for about 6 months, and he's calling you for an urgent mobile money. And you are now telling him, Che, for 6 months now, and it was painful. But as you learn to bear towards him, the Bible said he will cause you to ride upon your high places. Hallelujah. Is the apostolic church coming from God? If it is, then he has an assignment for us. God's assignment is always seen and felt in his namings. In creation, naming was left as an assignment for man and not God. So God was so careful that he didn't take naming of creature. He didn't take naming of creatures as his assignment. He gave it to man. But when it came to certain entities and individuals, he was in a haste to name them. Why? Because he got to realize that what influences man's naming was not spiritual. So that a taxi driver that arrived on time to pick my wife to the labor ward on time, if she ends up delivering a boy, I am tempted to name this boy after the taxi driver. Why? Because he was the one who saved my wife. That's how we name. So that a mother who delivered his child in pain can just name the child because of the pain. A woman and a man can watch a movie and out of the movie give birth to a child and name the child after a character in the movie. Apostle Legon, we had gone for missions in a village called Akplagbanya. And when we got there, a woman has been pregnant over 10 months, and therefore, within 2 days, we had prayed for the woman and she delivered. And the man named the child Aposa. This is how we name. This is how we name things. But guess what? I took the pain to study how God names. When he grabs the opportunity to name, I studied how he does it. And guess what I gathered? The first person he named was Abram. Even that he had been named, but he renamed him. He changed the name from Abram to Abraham. And when I looked carefully to the name, I saw one thing. I moved to another name, which was Sarai, which he changed to Sarah. I saw the same thing when he was changing Abram to Abraham. Then I came to Jacob, supplanter. And when he was changing the name from Jacob to Israel, I saw the same thing again in that name. And when Jesus had to change the name of Simon to Peter, I saw the same thing. When God had to fully name John, I saw similar thing. And when finally he had to release the name of Jesus, I saw those same similar things. And guess what I kept seeing in this attempt of God in naming? Two things. God names by his intentions and his assignment for that which he's naming. So that which influences God in naming is not by pleasure, but what influences his naming ability is two things. What is my assignment for this? And what is my intention for this? So that when he was sending the name via express, as in how Christ should be called, it was defining his intention for the newborn king and his assignment for him. And when he was also releasing the name of John, similarly, it was because of his intentions for John that he would be a Baptist. And that he will be a man turning the heart of the fathers to the heart of the sons, and the heart of the sons to the heart of the fathers. Assignment. So then, if a church is really from God, we must not name the church out of pleasure. If it is really from God, then the name must come from God. And if the name comes from God, then we should see two things in the name. His intention for the church and his assignment for the church. What is the name of your church? Hold it. The name apostolic, Ebeba Blem. The newly interpreted versions of the Bible has some 1-2 apostolic. But that which they transliterated as apostolic was actually the apostleship ministry. But when you pick King James, both New Kojovi and Old Kojovi, all of them, there is no apostolic in it. So where came from the name? Where from the name? But listen. Also, if you have a church, and the name of the church is Hawusa Koko International Ministry, what it should simply tell you is this, that if boko, you can crawl into that church for Hawusa Koko, it's automatic. Do you know why? That is the assignment. And whatever is your assignment, you don't struggle in fulfilling it. Because there is always so much grace. The iron has never suffered in ironing dresses, but it will forever suffer if it tries to chill a drink. I I don't believe apostolic. We've been struggling for 85 years. I just don't want to believe it. But I still have this conviction that we've been trying to fulfill an assignment that is not ours. And in trying to do that, we will struggle because we will not have the grace for it. I can stand on my feet and preach for 3 days. No, like I'm preaching now. Preach 3 days. Yes. Yes. 3 days. So as I'm seated, 5, 6, 7, 10, 1, 2 a.m., 4, 5. Tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, 3 days, I can do that. Do you know why? And I don't do it with struggle. You know why? Because it's my assignment. And because it is my assignment from God, I have grace for it. Try preaching 1 hour. So now listen. Where came from our name? If the church came from God, then it must come from God. And if the name comes from God, what influences God's intent in naming? Intentions and assignment. So if the word apostolic is also not in the Bible, then it came from where? Where did it come from? The word apostolic was first mentioned in the first and second century. Hallelujah. It was first used by some early day fathers of the church. Before the apostolic faith history, this history had existed. It included 3 revivalists: Polycarp of Philippi, Clemente de Rome, and I struggle in mentioning this name. Irenaeus. Is it Irenaeus? I-R-E-N-A-E-U-S. Fanatics. Irenaeus, Irenaeus, Imanias, Irenaeus. There is an Iri and there is an Neos. Now listen. These men, though they lived in the first century, but they saw physically, they saw Paul. And they saw the ministry of some of the apostles. But they were very young. So in their days, during the first century, in other words, the first 100 years after the death of Christ, these men had become revivalists in their time, preaching in every city and preaching in every corner. Until one day, Irenaeus was invited to preach in Jerusalem. And when he visited Jerusalem to preach, the church he was preaching in, he realized was a church that was planted by Paul. He saw certain characteristics. He never mentioned anything. He kept it. Until he was invited to preach in another church in Antioch. And that church was planted by Apostle Piero. And he saw the same characteristics he saw in the church in Jerusalem, in the church in Antioch. And from Antioch, he proceeded to preach in Judah, a church in Judah. And that church happened to have been planted by one of the apostles. And he saw the same thing. Irenaeus compared all these characteristics, which were so similar and common among all these 3 churches he had visited to preach. He said, all the churches I ministered were indeed apostolic churches. Why? I was preaching, and I could see the characteristics of Paul. I could see the characteristics of Peter. I can see the behavior of the apostles in the church. Even how I am received by the leaders. How they see me off. How they respond to my teachings. How they ask me questions. Their attitude towards prayer. Their attitude towards certain things. It was just like the apostles. And that is where the name apostolic. Apostolic. Don't clap, don't clap, don't clap, don't clap. It takes my time. That is where the word came from. So now listen, I was looking at it critically and I said, if this is the source and the first time the word apostolic was mentioned, how was it mentioned? It was mentioned out of divine inspiration. Why? It was mentioned not because of desire and pleasure. It was mentioned out of intention and assignment. Why? He looked at the church, the burden, their cry, and he said this. It's just like the apostles, apostolic. And all these churches had some symbols that were so common among them. The long and short of it all is this. If today we say we are apostolic, then those symbols must be found in us. Their assignment must be our assignment. God's intention for them must be the intentions of the church. And that should be the assignment of the church. Because every church and the grace God has given them. Why? He has given every church his grace according to his assignment for them. On this note, I introduce to you what I call the symbols of apostolic. That which when they cite in the church, they call it apostolic. The number one was not the Holy Ghost. Number one was love. So the word apostolic and the name of that church came out of these intentions and assignment and will of God. That is a encompass a group of people who will love one another. How? So much that when I have two cars, I have every reason to sell the two and give the money to somebody else. Or if I have three cars, I keep only one and give the two out. Why? We must not be richer than the other, and others must not be poorer than us. There was so much love in the church. And as they kept walking in love, grace doubled, grace doubled, grace doubled. So when in Isaiah 58, they were looking for power to operate in, and they were looking for it through fasting and prayer, God told them, I don't need this kind of fast, but this is the kind of fast I need. Go and love one another. So much that the more you are loving, the more the church is becoming anointed. The more you are loving, the more you are increasing in authority. The more you are loving, the more the oil upon the church is increasing. But what is the state of the church as we speak? I am very much aware, and I can confirm to this one, that the manifest glory of the Lord, the manifest power of the Lord, the manifest presence of the Lord departed from the church when we started this our backbiting thing, when we started this hating and pull him down syndrome, when we started killing ourselves and tearing ourselves. We are in the same music group, but we are fighting among ourselves. We are in the same prayer group, but we are fighting among ourselves. Deacons are fighting themselves. Elders are fighting themselves. Are fighting themselves. But if we will come back, if we will bend, tell somebody bend. If we will bend towards this will of the Father, he shall cause us to ride on high places. Hallelujah. The second purpose was this, that they had a message. They had a message. Acts 2:42, for they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they had a doctrine. Can I talk to you? So in those days, when you see different posters on walls without names of the churches, you can see a topic and tell this one is an apostolic church. That program is an apostolic church. They had a doctrine. They have a message. They had their sermons. Can I talk to somebody? If we will return to the doctrines of the apostles, hey, am I teaching somebody? If we shall return, if we will bend towards the doctrines of the apostles, can I talk to somebody? I see power returning to the church. I see anointing returning to the church. I see fire returning to the church. They are 12. The third one. Say the third one. Come on, shout the third one. They were pure and they were holy. You didn't hear this. They were pure and they were holy. They were pure and they were holy. In other churches, the pastor can sleep with the choir leader and he can still come and walk in power, but not apostolic. Not an apostolic singer. A pastor from a different church can just walk out of a fornication act, mount a pulpit, and the dead will be raised, but not an apostolic pastor. Why? Because our identity, our assignment is that we may expound on purity and holiness. Purity and holiness. Oh, they can have 4 or 5 girlfriends and they will still sing a song and it will break through throughout Africa. But not when you were a singer in apostolic. You know why? Different their assignment and identity, and different our assignment and our identity. So can I talk to you? If we want to see the departed Lord returning to the church, it shall be on this note. When a man has arrived in Koforidua Regional Assembly, and he's saying God has returned because he arrived in the area, in the district, and in the local assembly with what we call purity as a horn. Ah, man, no, shiki yadaba. Holiness as a trumpet. And wherever he stands, wherever he goes, in secrecies and in the eyes of the public, this young man, this young lady is daily operating and working in purity, operating and working in holiness. If my people shall delight themselves, then I shall cause them to ride on their high places. And we said, being delighting yourself in the Lord is to bow mouth. To ride. No. We said to delight yourself is what? Rasa. To bend. To bend towards God. And what we are saying is this. That this is his assignment for his church. That we will show the way to purity. We will show the way to holiness. And as we are showing the way, anointing is coming. Power is coming. So can I talk to you? In the days of old, they didn't just raise the dead. They were not just healing the sick and the blind. They were doing all this. And they were doing it with ease. Because they were following the assignment of the church, which is purity and which is holiness. If purity will come freely to us, if holiness will come freely to us, raising the dead will come without prayer. It's 12. I've mentioned 3. Let's hold on to the 3 for today. What are they? 1, love. 2, their doctrine. 3, can I talk to you? If we begin to love one another, if we begin to carry the message of the cross, if we will begin to walk in purity, we shall see prophets. We shall see priests. We shall see worshipers. Through whom the manifest presence of God will be seen. So that as their leading prayer, the manifest presence of God will be seen. As they lead praise and worship, the manifest presence of God will be seen. As they lead sessions, preaching. You see, Jesus didn't need to stop preaching and conduct deliverance service. But in the midst of his teaching and preaching, evil spirit tormented souls were falling under the anointing and they were receiving their healing. You are just doing midweek service teachings and the sick is being healed. You are just doing an ordinary midweek worship and the sick is being healed. You are just doing a crusade. You were doing an all night and some 3 meters away from the all night was a woman who has been laid in state, and as you are leading the worship, he got up on his bed, on her bed, and he started walking. If the today generation, if we shall retain in love, if we shall retain with the gospel of the cross, if we shall retain with purity, I see the Lord returning. I said, I see the Lord returning. I see prophet returning. I see crusaders returning. Whom am I talking to? If you are the one, shout, I am the one. Because we need the priest. We need priests in the church. We need prophets. Why priests? Now let me come to the scripture. Luke 17. Jesus, the 10 went to who? Jesus. For what? Healing. Lepers. And Jesus said, you made a mistake. You are the wrong place. Hey! 10 lepers had come to Jesus. He said, you've come to the wrong person. Whom should we go then? He said, go to the priest. One, don't go for the hanky. Two, don't go for an oil. Three, don't go for them to lay their hands. Just show yourself to them. Upon seeing you, you'll be cleansed. Ha! Seeing. Seeing. So that if I return as a priest after this camp meeting, a blind walk into church, and just when I saw him, he started seeing. Not because I prayed for him, not because I laid my hands on him, not because I had returned from 72-day fasting and prayer, but the reason being that I am a priest. If we can have two of this in your area, your area pastor, your area superintendent will call apostle headquarters and say, indeed, the Lord has returned in our area. Am I talking to somebody here? Apostle, God is returning. If we begin to love ourselves, this generation, if we begin to love one another, it's strange when you are in apostolic and your friend is in a... It's strange. When you are in this church and your friend is from another church, it will be strange. Can we love ourselves? Can we love one another? Can we clothe the naked and not cause others to hear? Can we feed the poor, the hungry? Am I talking to somebody here? Can love return to us? Because our forefathers who stood on top of taxes, preached the gospel for bondage to be cleansed, it wasn't because they were fasting more than us. It was because they loved themselves. They loved themselves. They were moving from one house to the other, eating from one each other's bowl and dining table. You are a glutton. Can we move from one room to the other on our campuses, eating from one another? Oh, can this love be seen in the church again? You hear a brother's story and you are not nakeding him before the world, but you are shielding him. Can this be our story after this camp meeting? Oh, am I talking to somebody? Oh, am I talking to somebody? Can we stop backbiting? Can we stop killing one another? Can we stop destroying one another? Because of titles, one no yes or more me. Hey, presbytery meeting and we are fighting. Amano ketiakis ipaluha ratim. Rabiandus. Zakasikas. Hallelujah. We will pray. I said we will pray. Love is not a subject. Love is not just a topic to be preached. Love is a personality. Am I talking to somebody? I said what? Love is what? It's a person. And that person is Jesus. And you see, he's a spirit. If love is Jesus and Jesus is a spirit, can I talk to you? Love is a spirit. Today, we will pray and the spirit of love will come upon our church. Hallelujah. The return of love is the return of God. Am I talking to somebody? If purity and holiness will revisit our church, the return of purity, the return of holiness shall be the return of God. And as we walk in this, the Lord will cause us to ride on our high places. Stand to your feet and lift up your two hands. Clap your hands and celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Hold the hand of a brother or a sister. Make him or her your prayer partner. Just one to one. Two hands together. Hold two hands together. And tell him, my brother, help me to pray for the church, that love will return to us. Help me to pray for this church, that purity will return to this generation. Begin to speak in the language of the Spirit. Building up your most holy faith. Speaking in the language of the Spirit. Hadabo Satana Mahadia Katisi Brahada. Rapapa Telehosi Kapanda Mahade. Ripado Sanana Mahade. Ikala Lalabo Satana Mahade. Ikala Lalabo Satana Mahada. Rapantini Miko Sanabahade. Rakapato Radianta. Rakapadus Ibanahate. Rakape Riado Sanabaha. Ianta Namahandi Brata. In the name of Jesus. And you shall declare a thing, and it shall be established. Say with me, in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As we pray together.
As we pray.
By the power of prayer.
By the power of prayer.
Let the spirit of love.
Let the spirit of love.
Come back to your church.
Come back to your church.
Let the spirit of love.
Let the spirit of love.
Fall on us today.
Fall on us today.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
The Lord
come
Jesus.
On, lift up your voice and begin to pray. Declare this with me in the name of Jesus. Shout with me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Purity is coming to us. Holiness is coming to us. Come on, shout it. Holiness is coming to us. Shout it. Holiness is coming to your church. Shout it. Holiness is returning to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Holiness is returning to us. At the national level, at the area level, at the district level, at the local level, the spirit of purity, the spirit of holiness is returning to your church. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. This is our final prayer. I want you to personalize it. So you can leave the hand of your partner and pray this. Shout with me in the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
I am the returned Lord.
I am the returned Lord.
In my area.
In my area.
The returned Lord.
The returned Lord.
In my district,
in my district,
in my local assembly,
in my local assembly,
because after today,
because after today,
I am the priest,
I am the priest,
I am the prophet,
I am the prophet,
in the name of the Lord Jesus,
in the name of the Lord Jesus,
I am the worshipper,
I am the worshipper,
in the name of the Lord Jesus,
in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Come on, lift up your voice and begin to pray. The manifest presence of you, God, some manifested through us in the areas we are coming from, in the districts we are coming from, the local assemblies we are coming from, the manifest presence of you, God.